Well, welcome back to the table, ladies. This is what we call our segment two, our Bible study segment. And with me today is our Bible study teacher, Connie Stampfel. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm so glad you are, because we are in 1 Peter and we're on chapter 5. We're talking about submission to elders and humility toward one another. That's the title, actually, of the lesson notes, which you'll find at naomistable.com. And Connie, I see the major theme here. What other nuggets should we be looking for as we do these lessons today?
Well, I think one thing we're going to find out from the Greek words of the text is we're actually told to clothe ourselves or tie on like an apron, humility. And God is asking us, commanding us actually, to take on a certain attitude of lowly mindedness. And again, as always, we're going to find Jesus Christ as our example in this. It's a great study, and hopefully as we understand what it is to humble ourselves before God and how He cares for us, we will it'll just actually be a place of rest rather than a place where we're concerned about anything.
Yes.
So if we can go ahead probably and just start by reading the passage, Amy, verses 5 to 7.
All right. And again, we're in chapter 5, ladies. So if you're there, you can follow along. It says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you."
Yes, He does. He cares for us. And that's the reason we're able to do any part of this. Going back to verse 5 here, it says, "Likewise." And so Peter's now turning to other people in the congregation, and he addresses it specifically to those who are younger. But truly, I think we could add on and say this is to all those who are not in the leadership, and they are to have a certain attitude, and that is to be subject to the elders. And that's the Greek word hupotazo, which means to submit or arrange yourself underneath. And just with what we've learned in the past day or so about what it is, how elders are to lead, and they're to serve the flock, God's flock, actually, then the people who are under that leadership are also to offer the proper respect and submission to those elders. And that pleases God, because we've seen throughout 1 Peter here that we are to honor and submit to masters and husbands and authorities. And so this is God's way, and we need to not be stubborn or proud about it. Peter then goes on and he tells them to clothe yourselves, all of you. And literally the Greek there means to tie on, like a slave would tie on an apron. And so we are to tie on, to place on ourselves humility toward one another. Humility means lowly mindedness. And what we need to do is we need to go back to the Gospels and see and read firsthand an account that Peter lived through of Jesus Christ. And this is at the Last Supper, when Jesus took off his outer garments and tied on a towel, in this same word, put on the towel of a slave and washed his disciples' feet. And so, Amy, if you would read that passage in John, please.
Yes, starting in chapter 13, verses 4 through 15, it says, "Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' And Jesus answered him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Well, Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet, but my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you.' For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done to you.'"
Thank you, Amy. And so here we see Jesus as the ultimate example of humility. He was going to the cross where he was going to die for our sins. But before that, he showed the humility of a slave and did what the menial task that the lowest slave in that culture would do. And that's why Peter objected to it, because it didn't seem right for his Lord and Master to do that. Same idea, though, here for us is we are to consider others better than ourselves and have that lowly-mindedness toward one another. When that happens in a group of believers, there's just harmony in an incredible way. And we've seen Peter talk about that before earlier in 1 Peter here. He talked about being lowly-minded, humble-minded toward one another. And then he goes on and he says, for the reason God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And here he's really quoting from a Proverbs in the Old Testament, and this is Proverbs 3:34, which says, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. And when we come to understand that we need to humble ourselves before God, then that's actually the right position to be in before God, and it pleases the Lord. And that's the time when he actually can work in our lives and do things that are very, very good and helpful to us. If we go on to the next part of the verse, it says, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. That mighty hand of God was that strong arm of the Lord that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them back from exile and just all those mighty things in the Old Testament. And we're reminded of that in Deuteronomy when it talked about God with his mighty hand and arm took them out of Egypt. But what we understand again, though, is as people, creatures, ones whom God has made and redeemed, we need to understand who God is and have the proper attitude toward God. And so there's a scripture in Isaiah which helps us understand who God is and how he is pleased when we relate to him rightly. And Amy, if you would read the Isaiah 57:15 passage, it'll help us understand how God wants us to view him.
Okay. It says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite.
Okay, and so we find that's the attitude, the heart attitude that pleases God. But we also find that here in 1 Peter and then also in the Old Testament, that when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, our verse here in 1 Peter goes on and says, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And that's actually the way to receive God's blessing and joy and glory, because that happens as we relate rightly to God, and then he himself is the one who lifts us up. We find that in Proverbs also. We've heard the proverb about pride goes before destruction and all, but there's Proverbs 29:23, which says, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. And of course, that is the kind of honor that God gives, which is the best kind. Going on then in this passage in verse 7, Peter says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Mm. And truly the secret to not being in worry or in distraught or being concerned about what's going on is to be humble before the God who made us and the God who saved us and the one who cares for all our needs and who loves us. And so if we cast our anxieties on this great God, we actually don't have anything to worry about, because we know no matter what happens to us, no matter what we face, he is there for us. We have a couple psalm passages that help us understand, again, that idea. The psalm writer understood very well that God is the one who cares for us. And so we've got Psalm 40, verse 17. Amy, if you'd read that.
Sure. It says, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God.
Thank you. And then there's another passage from Psalms 55:22. Amy, if you read that one also.
One of my favorites. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Yes. And we almost get the idea Peter might have been remembering this passage when he wrote this to us. Cast all your anxieties on the Lord. In our homework today, ladies, there's a passage from Matthew about worry. and how we aren't to be worried. And I want you to think about today what it is you worry about and why you might hold on to that kind of thing. But as you grow in the Lord and you humble yourself under God's mighty hand and realize that He is good and He is powerful and He loves you, perhaps you may find you don't have quite as much to worry about as you think.
Great, great words, Connie. Thank you so much for this lesson. And ladies, again, you'll find the assignment that Connie was talking about, lesson number 25, on our website at naomistable.com. Nancy and I are going to talk about this in just a moment. So, Connie, thank you very much. We'll be right back.